seal this time of worship. I feel like the Lord has shared a lot of excellent things this morning, and some really challenging. Thank you, Brother Dave, for being sensitive to the word of the Lord and just bringing that to. Heavenly Father, we fear your words. We reverence them this morning. We just are sensitive to what you're speaking and doing. We open up our hearts and we willingly say yes to you, Lord. Not out of obligation or you're twisting our arms, Lord. We willingly come and we bow our hearts and focus our attention upon you this morning. You're the King of our life. You're the Lord over our lives in every sense of the word. And we're unfinished. We claim that your grace is sufficient for us today in that area of need. Lord, come and complete what you started in all of our lives. Those good things that you're doing, Lord, keep doing them. And we come into agreement with what you're doing and say amen to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, would you turn to someone and just tell them how much you love them? And a thank you, worship team. Love you guys. Thanks for worshiping this morning. Children's Church, you are dismissed to Children's Church. So good, so good, so good. And amen. Man, I have got a fun message to share today. It's not every day you get a fun message, but this is a fun one. Well, as we get ready and start off, I want to read two sections of scripture. First is just the overall verse for this focus on dads. And it comes out of a minor prophet, Micah, chapter 6, and we'll read verse 8. It says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you?" Just put your hand right here on your chest, because this is all of us. This is what God requires of you. Here it is. To do justly. Can you say that? To do justly, yes. To love mercy. Can you say that? And to walk humbly with your God. Amen. That's what we talked about last week, is how do we walk humbly with the Lord. Today I want to read from Genesis chapter 18, and this is the specific message for today. It fits right in the middle of all of that, and we're going to talk about, again, Father Abraham. And in Genesis 18, I think I'm going to focus mostly on verses 17 through 19. Look at this, I'm reading it without my glasses. Miracles never cease.
Want to borrow mine?
Nope. But thank you for the offer, that's awfully kind of you. And so it says, and I'm going to read it from this one here because I can expand it. "Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?" Verse 18. "Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him," can you shout that back to me?
In him.
In who?
In him.
If you're married to a guy, can you turn to that guy and be, in you.
In you.
In you. You got that guy right there? Say, in you. That's it. I'm not married to Troy, but I'm saying to, you know, Troy there. In you. And where's Travis at? In you. There you go. And, you know, in him, it says, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Verse 19. "For I have chosen," who?
Him.
Point to your him. Point to your him. Where's your him at? Travis, your wife is pointing at you right there. Come on. Now, don't, okay, there are times where it's not Jesus is always the answer. That's so funny. Jesus is always the answer. No, in this particular case, the him I'm talking about is the guy you're married to, the dad. That's what I'm talking about. The him. So point to the dad in your life, the father in your life, or the dad, or somebody. Him. In him. I love this. I love that. In him all the nations of the earth will be blessed, for I have chosen him. So that, who? He, that him, will command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. Doesn't that sound like Micah 6:8? By doing righteousness and justice so that, can you say so that? Preach it back to me.
So that.
This is all important. So that. And everyone in this room wants the so that. They do. Whether they're a professing Christian or not, it's what everyone on the face of the earth is aching for. So that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken. Wow, two glasses. That is amazing. You know, you're cute. You want to go out? And so that the Lord would bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. So that the Lord would bring about what God has spoken about him. How many of you believe, without even going back and saying what it is, that God loves you and has a good purpose or a plan for your life? You believe that God wants good for you. Anybody believe that? Blessings for your life. You believe that on any level. I do. I totally believe this. Or I wouldn't be a Jesus freak. I wouldn't be a Jesus freak. And so let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to open up these verses to us, that everyone in this room would be inspired by your revelation. And God, if there's any hardness of our hearts, if we were kind of wondering if we want to pursue you or not, or getting weary in pursuing, would you reinvigorate our legs? And would you capture our heart again, because we want the so that. We want the blessings that you've spoken over us to come into reality, to be a thing that we see. So God, come and open up our eyes, soften our hearts, and let these words change us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Oh man, well, I can tell you why I'm excited about this is because when I read Genesis 18, 17 through 19, I see these phrases, in him. It's so important. In him, there is blessing. That's through dads. Why do dads matter? Why are we about to honor dads in Dad's Fest? Because without dads, fathers who start something, who nourish something, who protect or defend something and add their strength to something, we will go without blessings. We need men to stand up and fight for what is important so that we can be blessed. And this isn't spiritual ease or mumbo jumbo or positive thinking. This is life-changing stuff. Dads make a real difference. I don't even care if you are a born-again believer or not. If you are a dad and you're in the home, you make a difference. Travis shared a ton of statistics on Wednesday nights. The difference a dad makes, regardless of faith, if you're in the home, there is greater chances for success. Why? Through men, there is a blessing. So this first point is quite straightforward. God has chosen you to command a blessing. Have you ever thought about that? God did not pick the woman first and foremost to do this. He said, I want men to start this. I want men to initiate. I want men to be first accountable for the blessing. And it was Adam who was commanded to name. I'm going to get to that. And this is going to be a part of the blessing. What you speak, what you name, what you talk about, it matters. And men have to command, and that means so much. This command is in a Hebrew sense of a word to really be intense and to be focused and to say, I am putting all of my energies and I am influencing, I'm adding my strength to this. It's kind of like a person who makes someone else do something in a military command sense. A drill sergeant that says, get off the ground or get on the ground or do more push-ups or get over here, worm, or, you know, whatever it is, you know. How many of those little, you know, privates are just sitting there and they're like, when I feel like it. And then he's like, well, I'm going to make you feel like it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, and I don't know what it is, but that's the kind of intensity that this a father commands the blessing. And the blessing is this sense of God's favor on the individual, on the family unit. It is something that's perpetual. It continues. We're reading some verses from thousands of years ago that still is perpetually being fulfilled. The blessing of Abraham is extended to all of his descendants, which includes not just the Hebrew people, but all those of like faith. And if you have the faith of Abraham, you get grafted into the promise and the blessings of Abraham, your spiritual father. That's what we talked about last week. It's so important to have the faith of Abraham. So these blessings that are commanded affect everyone here in the room if you have faith in what God says. And remember, Abraham's faith was God spoke, he obeyed. God commanded, he obeyed. God promised, and he believed it. And that was in spite of what everything in the practical told him. He still obeyed, and he still believed in the promise, and God rewarded him greatly. So when it comes to men, I believe that God has specifically looked through and chosen men, fathers, to command a blessing. Men fill an important role in families and in religious development. I look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand." He's prepared it beforehand so that you and I would walk in them. That means that every man in this room, God has already written down good things he wants you to be about and to do. Long before you drew your first breath, he's already said, well, here's my favorite idea for Steve. This is what Steve's going to do in his life. If he follows me, if he follows my commands, he will fulfill this. Oh, it's going to be good for him. You know, he writes this down. Then Steve gets born and Steve gets the choice to either follow God's commands or not and experience the benefits of everything he's purposed for him to do. You don't have to. God isn't He isn't like this thing that possesses an individual and makes us do what he wants us to do. He just makes you willing. You can still have a stubborn heart and say, nope. But you know what? If you break and conform, boy, you begin to do what God wants you to do, and then you get the blessings that God brings. And it is wonderful. He's prepared this for us. And I love, this is one of my favorite verses about how God has chosen us to be a blessing. It comes out of Psalms 128, verses 1 through 4. This is one of my verses that I pray or think about over my wife, my kids. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat the fruit of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. Here it is. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, this is what's going to be like for a man who fears God. So God's chosen me to be a blessing first and foremost to my wife and to my kids. You know, and this has been a good marching order for me throughout my life, because it's tempting for me as a pastor to put other people before even my wife and my kids. And there's a balance there that has to be played out. It's probably similar in some ways to any man who's got a job and a livelihood that you've got to balance. But here's the difference with ministry. Eternal existence is on the line. So when it's Friday night and you're about to sit down at 6 o'clock at your dinner table, this is one of those jobs where if you get a call, someone might die and go to hell forever unless you skip supper and go listen to them vomit all of the junk in their heart out. I'm being kind of exaggerating here to kind of tell you the tension that sometimes happens. And what do you do? What do you do? There are times where you go, I must go. God really wants me to go. And there's other times you go, hey, every Friday night you want to vomit your feelings all over me and my dinner table time. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And you have to balance that out. If I don't do that, here's what happens. I become the pastor whose wife hates church, whose kids hate God, and then I'll serve the Lord and do everything in the name of God, but then my pastor kids become the cliched stories of the pastor's kids. And they're hellions. And it's just crazy. And I don't want that. And so there's got to be times where I say, nope, I got to love my kids. We got to go do this. But pastor, all those are, but God wants you to. You're a shepherd. Leave the 99 and come follow me. No, no. He has to say, I'm worried about the 5. I hope I love them. I need to chase after them. So, you know, the crazy thing is I go home every day to that blonde lady that brought me these glasses. I want her to be happy with me first. You know, and so when I read this scripture, I go, how can I be a blessing to my wife? So I buy her dresses. That matters to her. Hey, girl, you wearing one of my dresses that I bought you? No? Not today? You did yesterday, though. She was sporting that dress yesterday, and she was like, do you like it? I was like, yeah, I liked it. I put it on you. Yeah. It was good. You know? I get her some bling every now and then. I come home, and I'm like, here's some bling for you, baby. Look at that. I love you. And you know, and then other little silly things. It's how you win the affections of someone by lavishing your personal attention on them. And so as a husband, I mean, we've been married 26, this is going to be 27 years. 27 years. I'm still chasing after her. I can't run like I did when I first, you know, chased after her. It's a little funny. She actually made fun of the way I ran, what was it, 2 days ago? She's like, why are you running funny? And I was like, "Is my hip is out of place." And I was like, and it hurts. And she's like, it looks so funny. And I was like, it hurts. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. But I'll tell you, if God gives me 80-something years, the day I die is the last day that I'm going to be chasing after. And I'm going to be chasing after still to that day. And you know, not just that, but how I try and let her be a well-watered plant is I water her with my words. I share the words that I believe God speaks about her that are true. I just speak those over her. And I'm like, hey, this about you. This about you. This is what God says about you. Now, how many of us as husbands don't want a fruitful wife? A wife that looks like they're flourishing. The metaphor is beautiful. Green leaves, vibrant, doesn't look sickly or in drought. And I have seen women who are married to guys that I believe have never once watered that plant. I don't even know how that woman is surviving. And God has chosen that man, not someone else she might work with, to be the blessing and water her. I hate emotional affairs. They probably happen in part because of a void. The husband just stopped lavishing attention, but she gonna get attention somewhere. So, honey, you ain't getting no attention anywhere but here. That's it. And, you know, and then with my kids, it's amazing, but, you know, statistics say that the average dad spends less than 5 minutes a day with their children. Less than 5 minutes a day with their children. Yeah. When I hear that, I'm like, that ain't true. And then some days I'm like, it's true. It's totally true. There's a balance there. You have to fight to spend time with your kids, and not just in the same room, but focus time. It is a discipline, and I'm speaking from the man box right now. It is amazing, but I don't. Did anybody ever know this dynamic? Come on, Troy, you have to know this. You come home, and the first few seconds of home is like, hey, Dad, what is that? Come here, what is that? And it's like, all at once, you step through the door, and you're like, let me sit. Give me a second. I need more. And then you sit down, and you're like, now what? It's just they all want attention. They all need something. And they're like, you know, maybe that's just me. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? Anybody? You do? That's awesome. And you only have 2 women. And you're like, I got lots. I got lots. They all need to hear. They all need to talk to. And you know what? I have to ignore the natural tendency to sit down, unplug, and be in my like neutral zone. And I have to tell myself, self, turn and look at that little woman and listen to her. Listen to her heart. Hear what's so cool about her day. Take just a few minutes. And that makes all the difference in the world. And you know, that causes a kid to thrive. Amen? Amen. So God's chosen us to do that as dads. And it really helps. Now, some of us maybe don't have children in the natural, but I challenge you to have that relationship with someone in the body of Christ. Sit down and listen to some kid that doesn't have a dad doing that in their life and say, hey, I want to hear what's going on in your life. Really? That's great. That's a wackadoo thing you're doing there. That's crazy. I'd never do that, but I love you, so I'm listening. And you know, you just listen to him and validate him. So the first thing that I see out of this scripture is God's chosen us to command the blessing, and it is our job to be that blessing first to our family, and then it extends to everybody else around us. It's the blessing to this church. It's the blessing to this community. And it's so important. No one else can do what God's called you to do. Isn't that neat? But that's a reality. You know, if it comes through him, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I love the fact that that is obviously speaking prophetically about the lineage of Abraham, that through Abraham, all the way down through the patriarchs, then David the king, and then all the way down David's line to Jesus who was born, and Jesus who is the deliverer of not just the Jewish people, but all mankind. So it's talking about how all the earth is going to be blessed literally through his bloodline. And you know, it's amazing to me, but all the earth will have some kind of an effect from an individual who serves the Lord, fears the Lord. The whole earth can be blessed by that individual. I challenge you to go back and look over significant figures in history. Those that are world leaders like a Churchill, or those that are world leaders like a George Washington. What about some of those in science like Louis Pasteur, or any of these people who have made big breakthroughs, or George Washington Carver, who was a God-fearing man, but he was biologically not raised by his biological mom and dad. He was adopted, and yet through God's influence in his life, he's changed and done so much. And you go on and on, you can see through history how God used individual men, their families, and their influence to change whole countries, whole economies, all kinds of things. It's very challenging and cool all at the same time, because that's how much you matter. Maybe you never gave yourself that much credit as a dad, but I'll tell you, what you do or what you abstain from doing can change a nation. Amen? Moving beyond that, when it says that I've commanded him so that he may command his children and his household after him. Wow. This talks about something that's important. When it says that he is supposed to command his children and his household, here's what it means. That you have a responsibility as a father that you can either choose to take up or you will neglect. And this is really your duty. And if you fail to do what God has given you as a duty, then you will at the very least have mixed results. But at its worst, you will miss out on the blessing. And your responsibility is found in that commanding the children in your household after him to keep the way of the Lord. This is beautiful, but what it looks like in real life is this. You must be a priest. You know, in Revelation 1:6, it says, a kingdom of priests. In Exodus 19:6, it talks about a kingdom of priests. So if you are going to command a blessing over your household as a father, you must take your duty or responsibility as a spiritual leader serious. You're the spiritual leader. If you do not lead as the spiritual leader, then you are forfeiting God's blessing on you, your children, your church, your community, and maybe even your nation. your responsibility to be the spiritual initiator is so real. And right now, we have an epidemic of women in faith, which I love. That's great. The majority of people who often show up to the things in organized religion in America are women. Because the men have better things to do, they think. They're busy. I got other stuff. You know what God is saying, especially in our day? Let the hearts of fathers be turned back to their kids. That means turn back to their wives. That means turn back to their spiritual responsibilities and duties. And the reason for it is so that God could pour out refreshing and blessing. Our nation right now is literally falling apart, and there's so much tension because God is not pouring out a refreshing that only comes from fathers being the spiritual leader in their home. So dads have to see that unless you take that spiritual initiative and say, as for me and my house, all of my house, we will serve the Lord. There will come a time where kids are out of your house. Let them do what they want to do. But while they're in your home, make them serve the Lord. You know, try not to exasperate them. Because it just makes it worse, you know, and I've done that before at times. You will. I remember one time one of my kids just was not having a breakthrough, and I said, you ain't leaving this basement until you and I pray and have a breakthrough. That was the most awkward prayer time I've had in a long time. You know, it didn't turn out as good as when I was 17 and my dad said, this is the last time you're going to come back to my house like you did, and this is the last time this is going to happen. You ain't going to live here unless we have a change. And he didn't let me out of that car until something broke. I don't even know how long we prayed. Most of it was like an hour of me doing this while he was praying, and then I was like this, and then it changed slowly, slowly. Next thing you know, there was a tear down my eye, and I'm like, holy cow, my dad is not going to give up until I change. But he was the spiritual initiator in our home, and he fought for what needed to be fought for. And so I look at this, and I first must say, if you're going to command the blessing, dads, you must be that spiritual leader. You know, how this looks in a church setting. You know, if you got little kids, it's the dad that says, hey, why don't you lift your hands? Why, dad? Because I says so. What do you mean? And then if that doesn't work, you can say, well, because God is worthy of it, you lift your hands and worship the Lord. Well, dad, I don't feel like it. I didn't ask you if you felt like it. You know, and things like, and what that does is it teaches them to reverence the Lord. If you as the dad don't teach children how to reverence God, where are they learning it? The answer is they aren't learning it. What have they learned in the community? No one teaches people to reverence God. We live in a post-Christian society, which means the Bible has no longer any social significance. You quote the Bible nowadays, most people look at you like you're a weirdo or a radical, you know, stuff like that. So where's it change? We need dads who say, hey, you will get your lazy butt out of bed and follow me to church. You will do this with me. No, we are going to go serve at Compassion and Action this week. Dad, I didn't ask you if you feel like it. And then you're going to do, and what this does is it trains them. And there are many times dads are the ones that say, hey, go over and say hi to that nice old person. No, dad, old people scare me. Shut up. Old people are nice. Now go say hi to that nice old person. Okay, dad, I'm going over there. And it's like, you didn't look like you were happy. Go back and look like you're happy this time. Hey, man. Why? What? It's teaching them something. Go back and open up that door. What? Dad, open it. I said, go open that door. Yes, Dad, I'm opening that door. You know, and you teach them little by little. No one else teaches them that stuff. And you've got to do that. And then there's other things that you've got to be able to instruct and talk about. And so this is the way you spiritually lead. You provide vision for blessing. You provide vision for blessing by speaking it. This is a beautiful principle in Scripture. You can see one of my favorite sections of Scripture about this. In Genesis 49, you know, it says that Jacob, he was really old at this time. Jacob, this is the descendant of Abraham. And he was the descendant of Abraham and had all the blessings that were coming to Abraham like you and I would. But he needed to say what needed to be said by the spiritual leader of the home, and that was Jacob at that time. And right before he dies, he's there in Egypt with Joseph and all the other sons, and he calls them all together, and in 49 verse 1, he summons all of them together. He says, "Assemble yourselves that I may tell you what will befall you in the days to come." So that I may tell you what's going to happen to you in the days to come. And this is so beautiful. It just makes my heart smile. Dads have the beautiful privilege to provide vision for what is going to happen to their kids. If it's based on God's promises, you can take it to the bank. If it's based on human wisdom, it's a gamble. If you don't say it at all, then you don't have any place to complain to when nothing good comes out of your children. So what did I just say here? What I'm really telling you is you can say things that aren't true because it's not what God says. And there are many dads who say that. What does that look like? That looks like someone who says, son, this is what life is all about. You got to get a good job, you got to get a good, you know, career, you got to make tons of money, and you got to do this and that, and you got to go for things. If you don't go for things, and that's all you're teaching them, with no balance, no ballast, what is that kid going to grow? If you're teaching that kid, he's like, hey, you know what, if you work hard, then you can get the good things in life, and here's what the things, if you don't ever give it a ballast, what's that kid potentially going to turn out like? Exactly what you've told him. He's going to go for everything that's material and temporary, and he will miss on the very substance of things in life. Scripture says that if you seek your life, you're going to lose it, but if you lose your life for my sake, you're going to gain it. If a dad isn't teaching him what is true, then children can run after all the things of this world and miss the very meaningful things in life. So some dad's got to be speaking the truth to the kid. And then some dads never speak at all over their kids. They just neglect them. But even the evil ones, this one burns you. Have you ever had a dad that has spoken things over kids in your life that is, this is just bad? You know, that kid's just junk. That kid's no good. I wish that kid was like that kid because that kid's going somewhere. That kid, I don't know what's going to happen to them. What is that dad doing? With his own mouth, he is declaring the very things he's expecting to befall that child. And if his heart isn't meditating on God and God's word, then how is he ever going to know what God says about that kid? See, as a dad, you can nourish your own heart in God's presence and store up what God says about you, your kids, your wife, your church, all that stuff. And then you have the privilege to speak that over them. So you say that, and you're agreeing with God's word, and that's how God says, yeah, oh, I'm all on. Now, what happens is that's beautiful because there is a power in your very tongue. I love this, and sometimes people quote this verse, and they turn it around in an extreme way. Proverbs 18:21, that the tongue has the power of life and death. This is not blab it and grab it doctrine, if that means anything to you. This isn't the secular concept of mind over matter either. That's just wacky. Go be a Hindu weirdo if you want to think like that. What does this mean in the scripture? This simply means that until you come into agreement with what is, it doesn't matter what you say. I can say I'm a butterfly all day long. I ain't a butterfly. I may start to act like a butterfly. I ain't a butterfly. And there are some people who say, this ain't so, this ain't so, this ain't so. What if it is so? You know, faith doesn't deny the reality, it overcomes the reality. And some people have mistaken even verses like Proverbs 18:21 to say, deny the reality. Abraham said, I'm old, Sarah old, we're beyond the years of childbearing. He acknowledged the reality. So please, if you are a person of faith, stop ignoring the reality. There are days where you need to take an Advil. There are days where you have to say, yep, that's my lumbago shouting. Oh, don't deny it. Overcome it. Now, this is how you overcome it. I just love that. In John chapter 12, verses 49 through 50, Jesus said it in this way. He says, I did not speak on my own initiative. Isn't that beautiful? I didn't speak on my own initiative. So it's not mind over matter here. Not what you want to visualize and actualize. But the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I love this. And I know that this commandment is eternal life. And so therefore, the things that I speak just as the Father has told me. And so now this is the challenge as dads. If you want to command the blessing, then you need to literally provide the vision for it and speak what God is speaking over you, your home, your kids, this church, all that kind of stuff. And it starts with, do you even know what God is speaking about everybody? What's he saying? Steve, what's God saying about your wife? Don't answer now. He almost did. He almost did. That's it. I mean, do you know what God is speaking about your wife? You do? Have you told her today? Man, that's pretty honest. Has he told you today or is he just stretching out? He probably told you yesterday, right? He needed to tell you today. And so he says, he's going to tell you right after church. He's going to be like, hey, I'm going to tell you again. In case you forgot over to Wheaties this morning, this is what I tell you. How many dads in this room, you got kids? Raise your hand real quick. When was the last time you sat your kids down and said, hey, I want you to know what I believe God has told me about you? You don't got to make it spiritually kooky, but you got to make it real. Sit them down and say, this is what I believe about you. This is what God says about you. Tell them that. Who else is telling them that? Are they reading the Bible for themselves and getting it? Chances are they aren't. Some of them do, and God will definitely bless them through that, but God's put you in their life to speak that over them. That's how you have power in your tongue. Ephesians 4:29 says, let nothing unwholesome, no unwholesome talk come out your mouth, only what builds them up. So you've got to guard your tongue even as a dad. So you don't say things that just take the wind out of their sails. You know, euphemistic labels are horrible. You know, and I don't like them. And what is a euphemistic label? It's like dismissing an issue by just giving it a label. Well, that kid's got ADHD. Really? Is that, yep, that's it. Is that the end of the story? Yep. So now you don't have to learn how to compensate a little bit for that. Maybe some training, cut the sugar, maybe give him some structure. Nope, got ADHD. And then that's what he's got it. That's it. That's it. So he's on medication. All that. Yep, he's on medication. Yep. Let his teeth rot and fall out. Let him go crazy. Medicate that kid. That's all he's got. Is that really what we believe? Don't just label things and dismiss the responsibility of addressing it and changing it. Now, I don't want to dismiss the reality of those things. I'm trying to make a point here. Dads, don't take the shortcut and just label something. Well, that's my wife. She's always like that. Why don't you treat her differently and she might make a difference? Yeah. Nope, she's Russian. Russians are like that. Well, that's because you're Irish and Irish are like that. You know, and no, change it. Treat her differently and she might be differently. Oh, yeah, that's awesome. You know, and that's important for us to not label things. Some people even label themselves. I'm just this. Oh my goodness, I don't like that. All right, I need to move on or we won't have time. Proverbs 15:4 says, the tongue that brings healing is that tree of life. And I want dads to bring that blessing and be that tree of life. Now, here's the next thing. If you're going to be that blessing and command that blessing, you must be the blessing by teaching it. I love this, and I'm about to show this video because here's the reality. When dads teach, we see great examples and we see funny examples, and I want to highlight the funny reality of what it is for a dad to teach. See, dads, and some dads especially, Kurt, have these great phrases that they say, and they're just awesome. And they mean something, but a lot of times if you weren't raised, you don't know what it means, you know, protect your shoulders. You don't know what that means, you know, block and tackle. You don't know what that means unless you were raised in that, you know. But I want my best life. And so I want to teach the things that need to be taught. And here's the beautiful thing. When you teach, you are setting boundaries for blessing. Dads must set a parameter for what is considered blessed and not blessed. See, I want you, if you're a dad, to think of your property lines. You are responsible to mow, weed eat, make your lawn look beautiful. And at your end of your property line, then someone else's property line starts. And on theirs, that's them. If you come to my house, first 2 months of spring is filled with dandelions on my lawn. And you can see the line. You can see the line where my dandelions stop and my neighbors, like, because he pays for all kinds of treatment stuff, and I just laugh as I look at that. I'm like, I ain't paying for that. I like the flowers. God gave me the flowers. I make dandelion wine out of it. No, I don't. And it's like, I just did it. I'm only responsible for this, and I take pride in my dandelions, and I mow them. But you know what? This is funny because I have a responsibility for my territory. When it's clearly marked, then I have authority, I have freedom to improve it, to be a blessing to it, to invest in it. But I have to set those boundaries up. If I don't do that, then I could be robbed. Then I could waste my energy. Or I may never actually take ownership and improve it. It's the same kind of thing in your life and with your kids. As a dad, you must tell them, nope, here's where you are responsible. Don't go outside of this. Why, Dad? Because it's not good. So you talk about things in ethics. This is what is a right thing to do. This is what is a wrong thing to do. Why? Because it'll mean you keep your job. Really, Dad? Yep, and I want you to be blessed. Well, and you teach them things like, here's what commitment looks like. Why? Because if you aren't committed and you don't show up on time, stay there and be responsible, well, then you are also not going to make any good money and you will always be coming back to your mom and dad's house wanting to stay. No. You know, things like that. And so you got to do that. And this is very difficult. Now pause. This isn't all or nothing. A mature dad knows that there are times you have to nurture the brokenness in children and build the capacity for character. Some character is broken beyond recognition, and it takes a good father who has patience, long-suffering, to nurture godly character so they can stand on their own two feet. And today, sadly, we have an epidemic of characterless kids. And it takes dads to rebuild those boundaries of character so they can stand on their own two feet in society and be a blessing. And so teaching what is right and what is wrong is very important. Talk about it. Politics, religion, jobs, all that stuff. It's very, very important. And so maybe you can think back now to all the things that your dad would say. Now I want to show you a glimpse of what it would look like if your dad didn't know how to teach you the right boundaries and if he just said the weirdest things. So I want you to turn your attention to a dad who would never say these things, but we get to see what it looks like if he did.
I don't care how late you stay out. Stay out as late as you want.
You
want
to borrow the new car? You want to borrow my credit card?
Kids today, they really have it rough.
I have no idea where we are or where we're going.
I mean, when I was their age, life was easy. Super easy.
Why haven't you gotten a tattoo yet? How come you don't have any piercings yet?
Yep, we're lost. We are completely lost.
Ooh, sports.
Just do whatever the mechanic says to do.
Vehicle maintenance is completely overrated.
Look, whatever the mechanic is asking, just pay him. Pay him whatever he wants.
I wish they had soap operas at night. I like that boy. You should date him. You should date him immediately.
Well, what about the creepy guy with the motorcycle? He's cute.
Yeah, sure. Spring break in Tahiti sounds fun. Hey, make sure you get all your video games done before you start your homework.
You don't have to pass all your classes.
What? You have a project due tomorrow and you've known about it for 4 weeks and you haven't started yet? Sweet!
Doesn't anybody want to know if we're there yet?
Remember, if you need anything between midnight and 4 a.m., please come wake me up.
Hey, I'm on the phone. Could you bring the baby over and let him climb all over me?
Hey, can you please turn that music up?
Well, we just stopped for lunch 10 minutes ago, but yeah, let's stop again. I never have trouble with my toddler.
I never have trouble with my teenagers.
I never have trouble with my adult children.
You know, she's right. We are ruining her life. Yes, more homework to correct.
All right, whining.
Yay, tantrums.
Vomit. We just really need to spoil these kids more.
Sorry, buddy. I don't know any good jokes at all.
You're 16. You pretty much know everything now.
I think 18's a great age to get married.
Okay, remember, make sure you turn on all the lights before you leave the house.
Hey, could you leave the front door open for a couple hours? Thanks.
Whoa! Money really does grow on trees.
So dads, I want you to be that person who provides blessings by teaching. So keep it up. Keep giving us more fodder for videos like this. Keep talking to your kids. You know, if I were to say the last thing about what it is that I pull from Genesis and Father Abraham's example, if we're going to be a blessing to the world, a blessing to our family and our kids, we have to be willing to provide a blessing practically. You know, all of this stuff, the spiritual stuff, it should make a difference in the real world. You know, Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children." That really means something to possess. If you want to know what a dad looks like if he's a blessing, he gives his kids something that they can hold and take with them. You know, our life is temporary. We may not be here for long. None of us in this room is guaranteed tomorrow. So what have you left your kids that they can possess? Some of it will be things that are intangible that they possess in their heart and their mind, like character and a good way of living and being. But there is also the practical stuff. So, and this is why it's important. If you've got a marriage that stays together, you are more financially sound, you can buy a house. And if you buy a house, then you're building equity and you're doing all those things that gives them something substantial to work with later on. Can you imagine a world without any inheritance? It would be a horrible planet. Why? Because God's way of giving the next generation better footing, the ability to do more than what the previous generation is he says, "Father Abraham, I want you to go into the promised land." You know, he never settled in the promised land. But the next generation, he says, "Now I want you to go in the promised land. I want you to establish something there." They start to establish, and then he says, "Okay, now I want you to expand." And so they expand. And then on and on, this is the way God works through families. See, it is very spiritual to be practical. Dads, build something that could be used by the next generation. And it's one of those signs that God is favoring you. One of the signs that God is judging a nation is when parents cannot provide anything whatsoever for that next generation. Now, what I'm not saying here is you have to be the uber millionaire and create, you know, the Carnegie legacy. You don't have to do that. You just have to pass on something worthwhile to possess. There isn't a limit, a price tag I'm putting here. I'm just saying something. And I look at what my grandpa has done. I'm looking what I'm doing. I'm looking what my dad is doing. And you know, all hard work and faithfulness produces something. That is meant to be a blessing to the next generation. This is important. And not just that, but even in the spiritual family. It is so sad when we are not faithful in our own lives and remember the spiritual family. Do you realize there are widows, orphans, and people who are really destitute and they need help financially? Where does that help come from? From people like us in this church, and we have a good giving church. Holy cow. In 2 months, we had almost $14,000 above our regular tithes and offerings. Just came in out of the blue. What did we do with that? We were able to bless all kinds of things. With just that. That was above and beyond. This is awesome, and it is God's design to help single moms who can't make it yet in the inner city of Green Bay. We're helping them. And it's not just that, but even in this room, through the financial surplus, you have something to give to someone else. And that is a joy, and it is the way God blesses people. If we don't do it, then who are we expecting to? The government. Does the government share the ideology that God has? We'd hope it does, but it don't. And so there's a lot of emphasis on hard work and faithfulness, paving the way for practical blessings. And this boils down to, it is fun to give good gifts. I don't know about you, but I like being able to give good gifts. And so I could talk about all kinds of things on a personal note, but I'm going to focus instead on us as a church. Because in 2 weeks, we are going to have Dad Fest here. Now, why am I excited about this? Because I believe dads are one of the most important disciples we've got to focus on right now. And you can't even believe this. Yesterday, when we were in the park and we were doing our outreach, one of the wives actually said this very thing. Michelle was with me. You'll help me. She said this. She's like, yes, dads are under attack right now. She's not even going to church right now, but she knows what I'm telling you. Dads are under attack and they need support. They need help. They need encouragement. So as a church, we are going to go above and beyond and give good things to dads, because we are sick and tired of Satan stealing from dads a sense of honor, or stealing from dads a sense of propriety in our community, like, you matter. I am tired of that. I want dads to know that they are important, that they are valued, that they are loved, and it doesn't matter how many times that they have failed. Listen to one little kid just the other day, kind of in a joking manner, tear her father down, and it broke my heart. And I'm sitting there on the inside, I'm going, man, this stinks. This is our culture. They tear men down, and we want to build them up. So I'm excited. In my office right now, we had a couple in our church. They donated this entire, like, cordless power tool set. I don't know how expensive that was, but I was totally jealous. I'm disqualified for winning it, but we are going to give this to some lucky dad. And then not just that, Becky's mom. What a nice lady. You should tell her that. She runs Pam's Outboard. She got the opportunity. Our bookkeeper treasurer went over and was like, please, would you consider, you know, letting us? And she's like, yeah! And she gives a whole fishing kayak and all the stuff that goes with it. Some lucky dad is going to get an entire fishing kayak set up. You should see the dad's face when we tell them this. When we say, hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? And how they're like, make it quick, make it quick, make it quick. And they're like, we're going to give away a fishing kayak. They go, oh, yeah, can I have another one of those flyers? Suddenly it's like changes. You're speaking their love language. And it's like, and then when we say, and we're going to give away free food, the discussion just went to like the euphoric level. Food, kayaks, toys, and we're going to make sure that your kids have something fun to do. We want them to bounce around, and we want you to chase them and torture them, and we want you to play yard games, and we want you to just have 2 hours to relax and to enjoy just being important. And so in 2 weeks from now, we are going to love on dads like we as the Visible Church have never loved on dads before. And I need your help. Out there at the Hello Hub, we have these flyers. I am asking you, I'm sincerely pleading. Some of you won't be here, some of you will be here. But I want you to take this serious. You don't know if this is the last year that dad has to be honored and to feel his heart pulled towards Jesus. This is an evangelistic event because the love of God draws people. You have the opportunity to take a simple flyer and do a personal invitation. Go knock to that door of the dad next to you or whatever and say, hey, my church is partnering with another church in our town and we want to love on dads. And I know you're a dad. Here's what we're doing. I want you to come to this because you're an awesome guy. And I'd want you to win this kayak. I want you to win these tools. I want you to win. We might even get that chest of meat, maybe. Oh, that's so not a Mother's Day gift. We're going to give you a chest of meat. I'm like, who wouldn't brag about that? I want a chest of meat. You know, I mean, that's just awesome stuff. These are the things that matter. Why? Because if we being earthly know how to give good gifts, that's just a little tip of the iceberg of what our Heavenly Father loves to do. Every one of us in this room have been given gifts that are so overwhelmingly awesome. It's hard for us to stop and sing enough songs about it. It's our turn to give gifts to some dads in our community. Can we stand and let's pray? And I'm going to pray not just for you in this room, but I'm going to pray specifically for the dads in our community. And so, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you first and foremost for the gift of your Son. the gift of redemption and salvation, and how you loved us so much that you gave the unimaginable. You made it real. You gave your only begotten Son. And Jesus, we thank you in this moment for willingly laying your life down for us. The innocent for the guilty. You laid your life down so that we would not be held accountable for all of the sin of this world, the sin in our own hearts, and that our faith in you purchases redemption, seals it. So God, I thank you for that. That's our hope. And in light of that awesome gift of salvation, Lord, I lift up every dad in the Howard Suamico area. Lord, these men, you know them, and you have chosen them to be a blessing to their wives, to their children, to this community, and even to this church and other churches. Lord, would you call them by name today? Would you set up divine appointments for everyone in this room to invite, to knock on their doors and say, hey, I want to invite you. I want you to be loved on and given good gifts and just be doted on because you are chosen to be a blessing and to be blessed. Lord, come and move on the hearts of men in this area. Fill this parking lot on June 20th with dads who need to know you. Fill this parking lot with dads who need to know that you love them. And Lord, I pray that you give each and every one of us in this room the right words to say.
Oh, bless his name.